Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When everyone who I worked with at the time was taking a piss, you get a day off on a Friday, lie in, all that. You know, I was up earlier on a Friday to work for myself than I was to go into the office for 9 o'clock in the week.
It's one thing having a dream, it's another thing to make that dream come true. You've got to be your own fairy godmother, put in the hard work, and if you're Johnny Draper, add in a bit of sparkle too. I'm Matt Bowen, this is Phototypes.
It's Matt freaking Bowen.
From marketing to wedding videos to wedding photography, Johnny Draper's story is an interesting one. I'm not sure it's ready for the West End just yet, Johnny, but when it is, there's only one person going to play the lead role. Well, let's head to Manchester and welcome Johnny to Phototypes.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Look around yourself. Tell us exactly where you are now and what you can see around you.
Okay, I'm in my dungeon, my cellar at home, which is where I do all my work, basically all my editing, all my kit is down here, a load of boxes full of shite are down here, of all the things that I should have arranged nicely onto shelves and things like that. So I've got, you know, boxfuls of USBs that I've actually just been burning, copying images to one, and I've got 8 gigs and 16 gigs, and of course I've not labelled the boxes, so I have to put one in and see what size it is and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, surrounded by a world of photography sort of nonsense, really.
Excellent. So is it fairly tidy or fairly messy?
Yeah, pretty messy. Pretty messy. But I know where everything is. That's the main thing.
Organised chaos. Best way to be. Yes. That's what I keep telling my wife. I know where everything is. Stop moving it.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, we obviously have a similar relationship with our respective wives, because every time Emma comes and puts anything away down here, it's immediately lost. So anyway.
Alice's way of tidying up is just to shove everything in a drawer. So usually I just look in the first drawer I come to and it's all in there.
Ah, if only it was that simple with Emma.
Let's hope they're not listening.
Yeah, won't be forwarding this on to anyone.
What about when you work? Are you a tidy worker, or do you kind of shoot messily?
I like to think that I'm pretty methodical in terms of how I go about doing stuff. I definitely have an overall approach when I'm shooting a wedding or pre-wedding shoot. I kind of have a list in my head, I guess. Not trying to be too formal about it, because, you know, I'm trying to go for spontaneity a lot of the time, but there's you know, in terms of how, from a physical point of view, how I organise my kit in my bags and where everything is, I know exactly where stuff is, that all has its place. When I rock up at wedding venues, I kind of have a checklist of, right, I'm going to find somewhere that the main bag sits at that venue that's got all the bits and pieces in that I may need through the day. Everything else sort of comes out with me, carried on, you know, on my person. And I try and keep the car as close as possible as well for all the other bits and pieces in the boot that I might need. But yeah, when I'm shooting, I guess I shoot kind of with a storyboard, I guess, in mind. But I used to do video back in the day, so I kind of always have like this thing in my head about establishing shots and shots that kind of lead into different parts of the day. I don't know whether other people do that or don't do that, but that's certainly something that is always on my mind.
For those people who don't know you, and we have a worldwide audience, So describe yourself as a photographer.
Wow, that's hard. I guess it's like the describe your style. It's impossible. Nobody kind of wants to pigeonhole themselves, I guess, ever. But describing myself as a photographer, you know, I am a wedding photographer first and foremost, really. I mean, I do the odd other bits and pieces, but I don't really chase any commercial work. I'm not particularly interested in it. I really love shooting weddings. So in terms of describing myself as a wedding photographer, I guess I just want to shoot people having a good time. It's as simple as that, you know, and this within that, then there's a lot of that is dependent on the couple, how far they want to take things. But I like to think I have a bit of a fashion edge sometimes, if it's the right kind of bride and groom. So I think as photographers, we're all by our very nature quite geeky, and we like the technical side of things and we like kit, but I definitely like to play around with lighting a little bit if it is in the right situation for the right kind of bride and groom. So if they have got a bit of swagger about them, I like to bust out a bit of off-camera flash. But overall, I guess I would never call myself a documentary photographer, but I guess a lot of how I shoot the day is documentary style, coupled with, you know, I just try and bring a, it sounds really cliche and shit, but I just want to bring a bit of awesome to the wedding as well. Just do something that makes them feel like, yeah, that's us, that's our wedding, that's our wedding day, and none of our mates have got anything like that, and that's why we've booked him.
Is that the Johnny Draper ethos then, bringing a bit of awesomeness?
I guess when I say it sounds really shit, but I get in my own head, yeah, I want people to be excited about their wedding photographs. I want all the moments captured. I want to tell a great story of the day, but I really do want them to afterwards say, yeah, we're really glad we booked him because we got something that nobody else gets.
Okay, let's rewind a bit, take you back into the midst of time. When did you first pick up a camera?
When I had a proper job, back in the day, I worked for an ad agency in Manchester, a worldwide ad agency called JWT. I worked in the TV department, so I was doing a lot of non-broadcast stuff, bits of film, bits of editing for all kinds of different things. Vox pops on the street one week, putting stuff together for conference sort of breakout sessions, you know, something that was supposed to make people, you know, wake up and realize that they liked the job that they were working in, that sort of stuff. And that then led to weddings. It is the longest story in the world, but in a nutshell, basically somebody at work was getting married and they said, oh, you film stuff and edit stuff, will you come and film my wedding? I was like, yeah, fine. Never been to a wedding before, I had no idea what was going on. I put together this kind of 3.5 minute highlight reel on a DVD, and I did all the stuff that I had no idea really what I was doing and what was expected, because I had never even been to a wedding, never mind looked into photography and videography. But I kind of applied what was hammered into me in the day job to weddings, which was nothing boring, fast cuts, great piece of music, make people be interested in what they're watching. So I was like, I cut all the speeches out, they were shit, cut all the ceremony out, that was really boring and long, and just had this sort of 3.5 minutes on DVD. And I didn't even know at the time, because I was just using all the work edit suite that I had and the kit. People were still knocking out, you know, 4-hour epics on VHS. I didn't sort of value the fact that I had all this kit to play with, and I was like charging £100 for a wedding, which kind of made the phone start ringing very, very quickly overnight after having done this one wedding. And I started looking into the wedding industry a little bit more and realising I was massively undercharging for what I was actually delivering. But I think the other thing that came from that was I realised it was a really cool, fun place to be, actually working at somebody's wedding. Really, really great fun. And that then kind of went down the stills route then. I don't know, it was weird. I didn't have any specific thought about it. I just thought randomly one day, I wonder what it'd be like taking the stills, because obviously I'd worked with loads of photographers by that point, and I just kind of had a crack at it, which is the sort of thing that people go mad about these days. Don't just go into a wedding shooting stuff with no idea what you're doing, but you know, there's no greater pressure to make sure you get it right, I guess, in some ways. So I kind of did a few weddings for free, did the stills, but I had quite a lot of wedding experience to back it up. And then off the back of that, all of a sudden, I was like, all right, this is fun. And it potentially can turn into a business, which I like the sound of. So it just kind of went from there, really.
What were the main differences that you found between doing the video and the stills, apart from obviously one was moving and one was still?
Yeah, I guess it was the interaction I was having on the day. And I think that was something that really pushed me into the stills and took me away from the video. I really enjoyed shooting the films and editing the films and delivering them. But I realised I kind of wasn't talking to people at the wedding at all. And I'm quite a people person. And I realised I was shooting everything pure documentary for the films. But I was getting in the car at the end of the night feeling a bit miserable because I was like, I've not spoken to anyone all day. And I kind of then liked the whole having an involvement a little bit more in the wedding day. I kind of, everyone's different. Every photographer's different. I know that. But I like the almost sometimes being a bit of a wedding planner on the day and helping things happen and making things that potentially are going wrong right. And I get a lot out of that. And it kind of translates then into my photography and makes me push myself even harder because I feel like I'm a real integral part of the day. You know, it's like I said, why I wouldn't describe myself as a pure documentary photographer, because the documentary photographers who I know their approach is very, very much similar to what mine was when I was shooting video, which is sort of park yourself in a corner and watch and wait and, you know, kind of start to read situations but not influence them. I love walking into bridal prep or meeting the lads in the pub and having a bit of a laugh with people. And it's not trying to create a situation. It's just that interaction with them. I really enjoy that. And, you know, bridal prep's one of my favourite times of the day. You know, it can be really, really good fun. And if you can have, you know, I always see it as an opportunity to build a bit of a relationship with all the other people there that you don't know. You know, I'd like to think I've got to know my bride and groom a little bit before the wedding, but I'm meeting everybody else most of the time for the first time. So they're opportunities for me to just kind of get to know people, get them on side. So if I do need a bit of help from them later on in the day or whatever, they're happy to do it, I guess.
So you made the switch to stills. Was it straight away, man, my pictures are shit hot, or man, my pictures are shit?
Oh, yeah, definitely the second one. Wow. I actually found the on a archived off hard drive a couple of weeks ago. I found the first stills wedding that I did, and oh man, it was bad. It was bad. I mean, it was, I think I'm being harsh on myself. I think they really loved it, and I was lucky because I had the wedding experience from doing the video stuff, so I wasn't going in totally green. But it's a whole different ballgame being the photographer to the videographer, and there was so much, you know. You learn every single time you shoot a wedding. You know, you don't get to a point where you go, I've seen it all and done it all now. But then, in particular, the first few weddings, you're really finding your way, and making decisions is hard on the day, you know. And I think that's when you realise people do look to you for some guidance. And that really kind of freaked me out, I remember. But yeah, some of the pictures, some of the bridal portraits, you know, bride and groom together. And it's a really cool venue as well. And I was properly kicking myself at the time, you know, thinking I'd not done it justice at all. And I don't really think I had. But hey, they hadn't paid me. They knew where what was going on. So they were delighted with it. But yeah, looking back at it now, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, I wouldn't let them see the light of day, those pictures.
Oh, I was just going to say, will you let me share them?
No chance.
So how did you get better? Did you learn, teach yourself, or did you go and do workshops and training courses?
I've done sort of loads of stuff. I actually went really back to basics, actually, after the first few weddings, and I enrolled in a sort of night school. It was like a BTEC or a GNVQ sort of qualification at Stockport College. And so it was like once a week for a full school year, September to May. And it wasn't that expensive actually to go and do it. It was only a few hundred quid. But it really helped me with some of the absolute basics that I just never considered, because I'd done all my on-the-job training with video, and that was very specific to what I was expected to produce there. It wasn't, you know, learning about all the technical aspects of a camera. So going to do that sort of night course really helped me get through some of the basic stuff. But then I hit a massive wall with it. I mean, about 3-4 months in, I was just like, I'd totally given up on it because it got really boring. And I felt I'd taken what I needed from it. So I jacked that in. And I kind of tried to apply things that I'd learned on that and things that I really wanted to understand more about, and did a load of styled shoots. I just thought, oh, fuck it, you know, how hard can it be getting a girl to wear a wedding dress and go and knock on the door of a few venues so I can just practice some stuff and try some things out? So I did quite a bit of that, which then helped, obviously, in turn with other things, connecting with other people in the industry and building some relationships with people, which, again, at the time, I hadn't really considered that was an important thing, but all of a sudden, you know, a few doors were opening and I realised it was as a result of that. And then I've always liked doing workshops from minute one. I've kind of started to take real notice of wedding photographers in the industry. I've kind of always liked to go and see what people have got to say and understand their reasons behind doing things in a certain way. I think I've always found that really interesting. It's not necessarily going to see somebody because I absolutely love their style and I want to replicate it. You know, it's much more, I absolutely love their style and I'd love to know why, if that makes sense. Yeah, so I went to see Alan Law, had a workshop in Leeds a few weeks ago, and I really found it very, very interesting. He's a pure documentary photographer, totally different to me. But I guess overall, a lot of our sort of fundamentals of our business and our approach were very, very similar. It was just how we executed what we did that was totally different. But I found that really fascinating, and almost, I guess, reassuring in some ways, because I kind of, you know, I think he's a top photographer and he's got a great business. And it's nice when you go and see people who, I guess, you kind of respect and think, oh, actually, you know, I must be doing something right because I do a lot of that sort of stuff myself already. Our product is just very different, I guess.
Okay, so when you were training and doing this MVQ course for a bit, were you still working day job?
I was. So I was kind of, again, I was really lucky with the day job in that I had this kind of suite at work with, you know, edit suite that was behind closed doors. My main sort of computer setup was facing, my screen was facing a window rather than the doors into the room. It had everything I needed on it, you know, it had Photoshop, it had, you know, all that stuff. So I could just, you know, I could go and shoot stuff through the week at a weekend, bring it into work on a Monday morning, plug that external hard drive into my Mac there and kind of get on with my own work. So I was really lucky, you know, I kind of got to pull the wool over the boss's eyes a little bit. I guess they won't mind me saying that because they kind of figured that in the end, and I am still in touch with them, and they've always been really supportive of what I went on to do. So I kind of appreciate that they kind of let me get away with it for probably more than a few months.
How long was it then before you got to the point where you thought, do you know what, I could do photography full time and it's time to knock this one on the head?
Well, because I was able to run so much stuff during work hours, that really helped to accelerate things. As I said, my bosses were very understanding. They let me cut a Friday. So I can't remember what sort of time of year it was. I think it was a New Year-ish time of year, and I dropped a Friday. And the idea being, I thought I'd probably need 12, 18 months to kind of keep developing the business. I had that single full day to commit to it a week, as well as all the other messing around through the week. But actually, as soon as I dropped that Friday, I think it was 3 months before I then handed my notice in, because it was unbelievable the amount of work that I could get through in one full day. Because I guess, you know, you get to that point where you really want it. And, you know, so that Friday, when everyone who I worked with at the time was taking a piss, oh, you get a day off on a Friday, lie in, all that. You know, I was up earlier on a Friday to work for myself than I was to go into the office for 9 o'clock in the week, just to get on with it, just to do some editing, make calls, emails, try and get myself out there. So yeah, it worked really well, actually, just having that single day.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you handed in your notice, was there any fears at all, or were you confident then that this is what you wanted to do and it was going to work?
I kind of did the whole back of the fag packet maths before I handed my notice in. I decided that I needed to have X amount of weddings in the diary over the coming months to replace my salary, so I could pay the mortgage, I could pay my bills, we could still live. And I figured, I think it was about 6 months I decided I needed ahead of me in the diary. And I was confident because of how much flexibility that one day a week had given me, that if all of a sudden I was working for myself full time, I was pretty sure that I could fill the next 6 months after that. So 6 months became this thing in my head. So I was like, right, boom, as soon as I've got enough weddings in for 6 months to live by, I'm handing my notice in and I'm going for it. So that was what I did. And yeah, it was, I guess when actually the first day working for myself was actually at a wedding. I'd left on the Thursday and then I had a wedding on the Friday and the Saturday. And it just didn't give me any time to have the fear, I guess, because I was properly just chucked in at the deep end, really. I had to get on with it. So yeah.
No time to sit around in your pants wondering what might be.
Absolutely not.
When you were building up that 6 months worth of weddings and the following 6 months, where were they coming from? Were they word of mouth or that network of people you talked about earlier, a mixture of things?
The previous couple of years, I'd started shooting weddings. So there were certain things that I was doing on that Friday, that spare Friday that I had. I was trying to, you know, build on the relationships with the people I was sort of meeting. I was trying to take advantage, sounds, you know, really ruthless, but I was trying to take advantage of the weddings that I'd already shot to benefit from those, you know, make sure you do a great job for people, over deliver as much as you can. And hopefully, you know, when sister, best friend, best mate, cousin, whoever it is, hopefully they come knocking on the door as well. So I had a real kind of wide net that I was trying to cast, really. But it was all very, very much based around people and real relationships. And I've always hated the word networking, but I guess that's what it is at the end of the day. So that was a real mix between things, opportunities from previous weddings, venues and other suppliers that I'd met and worked with. And yeah, just sort of just trying to put myself out there so that people start to know who I was, I guess. Which is really hard to do, you know, and I know a lot of people struggle with that because it's very, very difficult to have the belief in yourself, especially when you've jacked in this, you know, what you perceive to be a safe job or a safe career. You've got to really kind of go, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to put everything into it, and I am going to believe the hype I'm trying to create about myself, that I am good at what I do, and that, you know, it's my job to convince people that I am good and I will do a great job for them at their wedding. So it was all those sort of different prongs, really. Something that I've never gone anywhere near, really. I guess I have in some ways over the last few years, but SEO never crossed my mind. I kind of didn't want to, I guess I didn't think about it initially because I was so focused on other things. But when I did think about that, I kind of thought, do I want to be, Manchester wedding photographer page one of Google? Or is that just far too much of a wide reach for me? And it felt that because of where all my other referrals were coming from, it felt that I would just be almost hitting and hoping. The SEO stuff that I think about these days is all blog related, and I think a lot of people kind of concentrate on that, is trying to make sure you're searchable for you know, venue terms, places you want to work at, places local to you that are giving you a much more captive audience, I guess, of the kind of brides and grooms that you want to be working for. So I think about that through my blog when I'm putting my blog together, but I've never worried about my website overall being searchable. Unbelievably, apparently, you know, the blokes who ring you up from, hi, I work for Google. Oh, really, do you? Really? They claim my website is knocking around sometimes on page 2 or 3 of Google for Manchester Wedding Photographer. I've no idea how, because it probably doesn't even say Manchester Wedding Photographer on it. But yeah, I've just always kind of, I don't know, I think you kind of pick a way that works for you, I guess, and concentrate on that rather than trying to spread yourself too thin across all these different ways.
In the early days, then, who inspired you and who inspires you now?
That's really hard. I kind of know the early day answer. That's a really easy one. And it's nobody famous in the industry. It's a husband and wife team who I met when I was doing video. And I worked with them at a couple of weddings, just totally coincidentally, over the course of 6 months. And they were the first photographers at that time, because I'm guessing that must be, I don't know, nearly 15 years ago, probably. Maybe, not being very kind to myself there. Let's say 13 years ago. But at the time, there was so much tradition still going on in wedding photography, and so much the stereotypical approach, I guess, that these guys were the first time that I'd turned up at a wedding and really paid attention to what a photographer was doing, because it was just a bit different. And it wasn't that they were shooting anything really crazy or like really, really out there or really, you know, a whole different level of artistic approach. It was almost how they themselves approached the wedding. I really liked them as people. I really liked how they dealt with the bride and groom and all their friends and family on the day. They properly integrated themselves into both those weddings, and I guess they were responsible a little bit for kind of pushing me towards stills, actually, you know, now I think about it, because I kind of had almost a pang of envy within me when I saw the relationship that they had with the bride and groom that I didn't have. Like, the bride and groom were all over them, loved them, hugging and kissing them all day, you know, and I just kind of was like, I want my clients to feel like that about me. And that was massively inspiring for me. And, you know, obviously then I did this first wedding with them, then went off and checked their work out. I was like, bloody hell, it's amazing. And it was very, I guess, classic in some ways. Yeah, pretty much pure documentary. But I did feel they were just seeing things in a slightly different way to anything else that I'd seen before. So, yeah, that's... and they are now very, very good friends. They then shot our wedding when we got engaged. They were the first people... pretty much after we've spoken to our parents, on the phone to them from Paris where we got engaged, just to see what their overall rough availability was over a certain time of the year, because I knew I didn't want anyone else to do the wedding. So yeah, they were hugely inspiring. And our wedding itself was, it's 8 years on Tuesday coming up, is our anniversary. And we got married at the Inn at Whitewell in Lancashire, which is sort of pub with rooms in the middle of nowhere, and it was fucking horrible. It absolutely lashed it down, sideways rain all day. And seeing how they dealt with that at my own wedding, because I'd always been quite lucky up until that point, weddings that I'd been involved in, never really had a total washout. And again, they just brought this air of calm. Nothing was a problem. Everything was going to be fine. And I took so much from them, you know, so much of my approach these days is based on what I learned from those guys. So, yeah, big up Jonathan and Christine off of Jonathan Harris Photography. And they don't really shoot weddings anymore, to be honest with you. They've gone sort of down the role of business mentoring, because I always kind of really aspired to, you know, have a business as strong as theirs. They were charging big bucks at the time and were shooting amazing weddings. And that was a real sort of inspiration to me as well, just from the sort of commercial point of view. But yeah, we're really lucky to be still really good friends with them. So they're the guys who kind of really kicked things off for me. And they're the ones that I always, you know, if I ever do find myself in a a sticky situation at a wedding, or, you know, I always kind of have that in the back of my head. What would Jonathan and Christine do? You know, that's always a little sort of thing in the back of my mind. These days, overall, in the wedding industry, wow, it's really difficult to say. There's so many good photographers out there in this country, in the Northwest, worldwide. God, I mean, you know, I guess, but I've already mentioned Alan Moore. Really love him. He's sort of come out of nowhere, really, in the last 3 or 4 years. And he's really, I think, redefined, in my personal opinion, that sort of documentary approach, especially get to see his workshop and understanding a little bit more about his reasoning behind how he approaches certain things and, you know, different parts of the day and what he's looking for. I don't really know any other wedding documentary photographers who kind of approach things in the same way. So I guess, you know, from that point of view, although I kind of don't really do it myself, I do find it really inspiring. But there's loads of people. Oh, God. There's around my neck of the woods, there's two people in particular that I massively rate, who I know one of them in particular massively underrates himself. So there's Andy Wardle, who is, I'm a huge fan of his work. You can spot it a mile off. I don't know anybody else with his approach or his editing style. I really love it. He's sort of nailed his business to the wall, really, and said, this is what I do. If you're one of my brides and grooms, come and book me, because there's nobody else out there who does what I do. And I really massively admire and respect him for that. It's hugely different to what anybody else in the Northwest does, I think. And there's also a chap called Damien Brandon, who I'm a massive fan of. He's the one who hugely underrates himself. He is a million times better than he gives himself credit for. I think, he's just got an approach to the day overall and a relationship with his brides and grooms that I think is really difficult for people to actually mirror with their own brides and grooms. People book him and they love him. They fall in love with him. They fall in love with his style. He's one of those photographers that if he says to a bride and groom on the day, let's go and jump over this fence and take your shoes and socks off and paddle across that stream and go do this, that and the other, they will just go, yeah, brilliant, can't wait. So I really love him from that point of view, because that's the sort of stuff I really like doing. I want to do something that's a bit interesting and a bit different, is about that couple on that day, and he sort of epitomises all that for me.
Cool. I think this is a slightly different question in terms of influence on your career and your biggest influence. Who would that be?
I hope it doesn't come across really, really cheesy and corny, but it's probably my dad, from a business point of view. And the fact that he's always kind of just gone, yeah, just do it. Yeah, you can do it. He's really sort of inspired me and influenced me from a marketing point of view. That's sort of his bag. That's what he does. And I guess quite a lot of that has rubbed off on me. And he's the other sort of voice in my head when it comes to a business point of view. You know, it's always, what will my dad do? What will my dad say about that? So he's always the one that's kind of helped me make good decisions from a business point of view. But he's really creative as well, because he's marketing director, so he's always kind of been in and around the creative side of business. So he's always been dead happy to cast an eye over, you know, the work side of things as well, and he's forever sending me links to shit that he finds on the internet. That you go, have you ever thought about this? This would be great if you could do this sort of thing, replicate that in the business. And some of it's, wow, that's actually a really cool idea, but it'd be dead hard to do. And some of it's like, yeah, you're joking, aren't you? But overall, he's the first person that I'd pick up the phone to call to kind of go, right, I'm thinking about doing this with the business. What do you think? What would your thoughts be on that? So I guess he's the kind of the big influence on that side of things.
Excellent. And what excites you about your job?
I guess the unknown. Every wedding's different. Every couple's different. Every individual within the couple is different. And that makes shooting weddings exciting. you know, you can. I've got wedding Friday, Saturday and Sunday this weekend, and I guess if you printed out the running order of the 2 days and put them on the table next to each other, theoretically they'd look like the same wedding, because obviously there's an overall formula most of the time to a wedding day. But it's everything that comes within the wedding that makes them different. You know, the couple start off with, then all their friends and family, and that's what I get a kick out of, meeting new people and trying to deliver something that, like I said before, makes them go, yeah, that's why we booked him, and we're so excited about every single part of the day. And yeah, I just think driving to the wedding, that's the, if I stop getting that sort of pang of nerves and that excitement and the adrenaline on my way there, then it's probably time to hang the old camera up. But you know, I still get that. I've shot a lot of weddings, and still every single time have that little bit of, right, what am I going to do in this situation? What if this happens? What if it starts raining at this point? Or all the things that run through your head. But that's what keeps you sort of focused, I guess. Yeah.
And what scares you? It doesn't have to be about work. It can be about life in general.
You always have a bit of fear attached to the work. You know, when you send the photographs or the finished set of images or the album or whatever, you always have that little thing, you know, like, oh God, I hope they like them. That's a bit of fear. But you also would like to think that by now I'm, you know, shot enough weddings to, and I work hard at trying to understand my couples to get my head around what they want from me, but I am going to deliver a great set of images for them. But there is still always that little fear in the back of the mind. So I guess that's something, but that probably applies to everybody. Sorry, that's a really rubbish answer.
It's okay. The fearless Johnny Draper.
I like that. It's going to go on the website.
Yeah, coming to fight crime on a street near you. All right, I think you'll probably have an answer for this one. What's your favourite swear word?
Oh man, I've got loads. Does this bit get broadcast?
Yeah. Oh. This is a grown-up podcast.
See, I was thinking, like, of course I want to circulate this to loads of people, but I don't want to C-bomb.
Okay. Then, well, we can just allude to that.
But I love, I think a C-bomb is massively underrated and people are really scared of it. A very good friend of mine, he said there's nothing better than a really good positive swear, and I totally agree with it. I think, you know, like, oh my God, you look fucking awesome. That's great. Calling somebody fucking whatever is aggressive and angry, and I don't like that. But I do find myself exclaiming swear words quite a lot, and sometimes massively inappropriately at weddings as well. But I think I kind of get away with it a little bit. But I do love a C-bomb. This particular friend also told somebody the other day in my presence that I was a lovely, oh, it's a lovely C-bomb. It referred to me. I was like, wow, that is a real positive use of it. But I guess my favourite, if I was like really thinking about it, my favourite sort of version of that is the one that probably not that many people know, and it always makes me laugh, right? So, like, polite swear words that you probably scolded a bit for using when you're a kid growing up and stuff. But things like calling people a prat when you're a young kid at primary school, or a Burke. Burke is my favourite, because Burke is actually a reduced version of Cockney rhyming slang for Berkshire Hunt, which obviously is Cockney rhyming slang for. So I just love the idea of little kids calling each other a Burke on the playground. I love that.
Right. If you could be anything else for a day, what would you be?
I'd be in a boy band. Easy. Next.
Singer, dancer.
Oh, everything. Everything. I'd do it. Yeah, I'd be able to do it. I'd be the front man. I'd be the sort of
the Gary Barlow.
Well, I'd like to take that. I've seen him a few times, obviously, but I've got a soft spot for Westlife.
Okay.
Also a soft spot for Westlife.
You like the key change and the standing up,
yeah,
from the stools.
I love the stool key change, up, walking forward, boom, love it.
The reach and grab.
Oh, all the air grabs, anything massively cheesy and obvious boy band sort of nonsense, I'm all over it. Love it.
You also like musicals, I know.
Oh yeah, big fan of musical. I guess that's the other, if it was between the two, it'd be a toss up between, you know, one night on the West End stage in Les Mis, or one night sort of, you know, Manchester Evening News Arena, which is not called that anymore, you know, with the crowd going wild. It'd be a toss up between those two.
Who would you play in Les Mis?
Depends what kind of what day of the week it is, to be honest. I think this afternoon when I know it wasn't this afternoon when I was singing along to it while I was editing, of course. It's not every day. Yeah, it is a little bit. I've always quite liked the idea of being Javert, who's the kind of perceived to be the bad guy. Everyone, you know, when you see like interviews for films and stuff like that, and people of well-known actors play baddies, they always say they love playing a baddie more than the good guy, because most of the time you get to die, which is quite dramatic and all that sort of stuff. But you know, the audience isn't on your side, and you know, I kind of like that. Honestly, in Les Mis, it depends what kind of day of the week it is, because I'd like to think I could do a good Jean Valjean.
Javert gets one of the best lines in it when he says, "They will wet themselves with blood."
They will wet themselves with blood. They will indeed, yes.
Right, who living or dead would you love to photograph?
It's a bit of a never meet your heroes sort of thing, isn't it? They always say that about, you know, people you're a big fan of. But I don't know, because immediately, like in my head, if I was going to be doing something like that, it'd turn into, let's go out afterwards. And like, you know, so I'd be like, it'd be like Robbie Williams back in the day when he was a proper tearaway, you know, when he left Take That. I'd be like, oh, shoot him in the morning, and then we go out and like go crazy and tear up London, you know. I've just stopped myself saying really bad things about potentially what we'd do with Class A drugs, which is just like massively wrong, but very 90s.
You tear up Stoke with Robbie Williams.
Stoke, yeah, get up Stoke and go mad.
You do a lot of workshops, and could you dispense to us a little bit of advice to another photographer?
I guess it would be all my workshops have a kind of a hashtag attached to them, but it doesn't necessarily go out there as a hashtag. It's kind of a virtual hashtag. I refer to it as hashtag this. And it would be hashtag don't be a dick. It's about remembering weddings are about people. They're about, without getting overly romantic about it all, it's about the greater good. It's about that day, their friends and family, their party. It's not about us as photographers. Of course, we're photographers and we think the most important thing in the world at a wedding is the wedding photography. But I honestly think you've got to fit into it. You've got to integrate yourself into the wedding. You've got to complement it. You can't dominate it or be really intrusive, because people are going to fucking hate you then. But that applies across everything. When I do run like a full day workshop, it gets used a lot through the course of the day, and it applies to everything from the business point of view, I guess, overall. So, you know, it's how you work with other people. It's how you try and establish a relationship and then build it. It's just remembering to be a normal person and not be a twat, or hashtag don't be a dick. I think it can apply across everything you do. And I think if you remember that and, you know, kind of act on it and don't do stupid things or say stupid things that make people kind of go, he was a bell end, wasn't he? Then you're kind of halfway there already. I think a lot of people who come on my workshops initially are overly concerned with technical things, with how do you make this do that, all that sort of stuff. And I guess my overall aim overall is to simplify all that sort of stuff so that people aren't scaring themselves to death with very, very technical and complicated approaches to different parts of the day, but actually strip it right back and kind of remember what shooting that wedding is all about, really, and that is delivering a set of photographs that is perfect for that particular couple.
Excellent advice, and you've also just given me the title for this podcast.
Okay.
Final question, who else should I be interviewing? Who would you like to hear from on Phototypes?
There's quite a few people I think of. I'm trying to avoid really obvious ones that I just think would be interesting. There's a guy in the States who I only know virtually, and I met him virtually through some friends, and I really, really like his work, and he's just kind of, I don't know, again, it's a bit like I was saying about Andy and Damien before. He's just got a real thing that I switch on to, and what I like more and more, which is why I'd like to hear from him, what I see more and more now, is he's really kind of putting himself out there. He gets a lot of work published on various different sort of worldwide blogs and different types of sort of social media and stuff. So, you know, he's recently been in the Huffington Post quite a lot on those sort of, you know, articles, you know, the 30 best wedding photographs you've ever seen in the world, all that sort of stuff. But I'm really noticing more and more of that, and it's not that he's just plugging away at it. I think it's genuinely because he's really shit art and is producing the sort of work that people want to share. He's a guy called Jonas Seaman, and he's based in Seattle in the States. I can hook you up with his details if you want, but if you Google him, obviously you'll find him. But he just comes across as a really cool guy. Again, the sort of photographer that you can see his brides and grooms are like loving having him there. So I'd be really interested to hear like his answers to all these questions.
Excellent. I will try and get hold of him and get him on. Cool. Johnny, thank you very much for joining us. That is the end of your grilling.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Before you go, tell us where people can find you on the internets.
JohnnyDraper.co.uk. Everything then connected to me kind of springs out from there. So all my social media stuff's on there. Workshoppy type stuff is on there. So hit me up.
Excellent. Don't forget to send me those pictures from your first wedding.
Yeah, never gonna happen.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
If you're enjoying Phototypes, do come and like us on Facebook at Phototypes Pod, where you can see more images from the guests we feature. If you've got a favourite photographer you'd like to hear from, then do get in touch via Facebook and let me know. And you can find me, Matt Bowen, at theretreat.co on Instagram.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.